Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Osisko Gold Royalties conference call acquisition of Barkerville Gold Mines. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please pick up your receiver and press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Please note that this call is being recorded today, September 23rd, 2019, at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Today on the call, we have Mr. Sean Rosen, Chair of the Board of Directors and CEO of Osisko Gold Royalties, Mr. Brian Coates, President, Ms. Elif Levesque, Chief Financial Officer and Vice President Finance, and Mr. Chris Lauder, President and CEO of Barkerville Gold Mines. I would now like to turn the meeting over to our host for today's call, Mr. Sean Rosen. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, et bienvenue à l'appel conférence de redevance orifère Osisko Lité, acquisition de Barkerville Gold Mines. Après la présentation, nous procéderons à une séance de questions et réponses. Si vous désirez poser une question, veuillez décrocher le combiné du téléphone et appuyer sur la touche étoile suivie du numéro 1. Veuillez prendre note que cet appel est enregistré aujourd'hui, le 23 septembre 2019, à 8h30 heure de l'Est. Nous avons sur l'appel d'aujourd'hui M. Sean Rosen, président du conseil d'administration et chef de la direction de redevances orifères Osisko, M. Brian Coates, président, Mme Elif Levesque, chef de la direction financière et vice-présidente aux finances, et M. Chris Lauder, président et chef de la direction de Barkerville Gold Mines. J'aimerais maintenant céder la parole à votre hôte, M. Sean Rosen.
Merci beaucoup et bienvenue, M. Lam, à l'appel conférentiel pour l'acquisition de Barkerville Gold Mines. Il y a un PowerPoint qui se trouve sur notre site web qu'on va suivre, ça va faire. Il y a aussi les annonces que je vais lire avant parce qu'on va faire les forward-looking statements dans cette présentation. Welcome to the conference call for the acquisition of Barkerville Gold Mines by Osisko Gold Royalties. We're going to be using a PowerPoint deck that's on our website this morning that's titled Acquisition of Barkerville Gold Mines, and I'd like everybody to review the forward-looking statement pages on this presentation, as we will be making several forward-looking statements throughout the presentation and review of the press release that we announced this morning. There are two main points that I want everybody to take away today from this call. The first is the creation of North Spirit Discovery Group, which is the platform under which Barkerville will operate. This is the evolution of our accelerator model, whereby we've been incubating projects and companies, five of them throughout the last 5 years since we started Osisko. The accelerator model is a business model that we pioneered at Osisko Gold Royalties. We're now taking it to the next step. The basic points on North Spirit will be that we will set the platform in place to operate the companies at a project level as opposed to public company level. And North Spirit is designed along the model of private equity in that we will hold as 100% owned by Osisko at this point in time. But we will be looking for third-party money, either through LP structure or third-party private equity groups or joint ventures to provide capital at the asset level as we go forward. So this is the natural evolution of our accelerator model, and it's in an effort to purify the royalty model, and we see North Spirit taking on a significant role in the evolution of these assets while we separate the accelerator model from Osisko Gold Royalties, but maintain a direct drive from North Spirit into OR by holding equity within North Spirit Group. And at the end of the day, we expect that we will be somewhere between a 50% and 30% shareholder of North Spirit if everything goes according to plan and depending on how much capital we have to raise. But given the capital markets have not been very supportive of late-stage exploration and development projects, especially single-asset companies lately, we see more access to capital at a lower cost for these projects through this model, and this is really the bridge to value for Osisko shareholders to access that capital at a lower cost within the accelerator model. The second piece of business, of course, is the acquisition of Barkerville Gold. This is a highly accretive transaction for Osisko Gold Royalty shareholders in terms of the basis, and it fits exactly where we always work. Those of you familiar with our presentations as OR, we often go through how we allocate capital with 25% of it going into early stage exploration stories, and then 75% of it going into stories that are evolving into permitting, through construction, and into production, much like what we did with Victoria Gold. And that's really where we see the biggest value gap. Often there's a value gap in that period, as it's not very exciting sometimes for public markets to be going through the permitting and construction process. So we see that as a value gap where North Spirit deploys capital. Is really in that value gap area of permitting and evolution of the asset. So that, as we said, we deploy 75% of our capital in that place, and we feel that Parkerville presents an opportunity for us to deploy capital at much higher returns in that space. And North Spirit will also benefit not only from the Parkerville technical team, but also from the Francisco technical team. OR is uniquely situated to manage this business model in that we have a technical team inside the company that can run North Spirit as an independent development group, and that's where we see the value for OR shareholders as we go ahead and we make Francisco Royalties a more pure royalty and streaming company, and North Spirit becomes a traditional development group. On page three of our presentation, just a basic backgrounder on, hold on a second, we have some noise here. I'll continue on. I hope everybody can hear me. There's some construction noise outside. Page three is a summary of Francisco Gold Royalties. We are a peer leading royalty group with over 135 royalties and streams. We also own some real estate directly. We have 76% of our NPV by asset base is in Canada, 64% of it, directly in Canada, and about 40,000 GEOs earned so far this year, gold equivalent ounces. Operating cash flow in the first half of the year was $46.1 million, $89.5 million for 2018. We currently pay a dividend of 1.2%. We are uniquely situated to evolve the accelerator model that we pioneered into this model. With over $800 million of financial capability on our balance sheet. And as we get further into why we would want to acquire BGM into North Spirit by using stock from our company, Cisco Gold Royalties, the easy numbers are that we're issuing 9% of our stock to increase are underpinning NAV by 22% as we go through this. Page four is a demonstration of how this compares to our Canadian Malartic story, both historic production in Canadian camps, with over 4 million ounces having been produced in the Caribou camp historically. Significant existing infrastructure. The Caribou project has the QR mill, tailings ponds, and facilities, and actively has a small-scale mining permit in place. And significant amount of underground infrastructure and on-site infrastructure that we can leverage from. For those that have reviewed the PE study, the existing infrastructure is quite important to the value driver there in that we are not building a new mill, cyanide facility, tailings pond, or waste dump to execute a 4,000 ton a day underground mine. So that's a pretty unique opportunity. In terms of the exploration upside, this is a brownfield camp, and we've gone back in, remodeled it, and Chris Loader and his team have led the charge to unlock the value in this camp through the remodeling of the geology, and it's been extremely successful with over 90% hit rate of drill holes in the last 24 months that have been drilled using the geological model. So that's extraordinary success when it comes to geological interpretation. This is a camp that has world-class potential with more than 2,000 square kilometers of permitted area and a world-class mining district in the Caribou. Historically, this mine and this area also hosts several copper mines, Taseko's mine, Imperial's mines, all within this area. Historically, this is an area that's very used to mining and logging and is very friendly towards resource sector operations. It's worth noting that Pretium in BC was permitted in under 20 months. So it's been a jurisdiction that has been issuing mining permits as well. And of course, our Canadian Maple Leaf on the bottom, and a reason why we call North Spirit Discovery Group though our spirit is, we believe that the Canadian jurisdiction, as in we the North, is the best place for Osisko Royalties to invest its capital, and we continue to be Canadian focused as we go forward. Summary on page 5, we're moving this project towards the PE study goal of building 185,000 ounce a year gold mine. We're purchasing the remaining 68% of the publicly held shares of Parkerville that we don't own. We own a little over 32% of the company as we come into this, plus we have an overriding 4% royalty, which increases the accretion to us as we acquire this, as that 4% royalty does have significant value to it. The PE study was completed a few months ago and envisions about $310 million to build a 185,000 ton a year mine, ounce a year mine with 11-year mine life. In the meantime, there is ongoing mining at Bonanza Ledge, and the phase two of Bonanza Ledge should produce around 20,000 ounces a year before permitting is completed on the larger project, which is a 4,000 ton a day underground mine as defined by the PEA study. In the meantime, Chris and his team will continue on with a significant amount of exploration. We believe that this is the beginning of the story. This is a camp-sized play with over 67 kilometers long trend and a newly discovered parallel zone to that. And we think that we're going to be here for a long time, and there should be multiple opportunities for Osisko to invest through project financing as this project advances. So this is not one of these things is not like the other. This project is large and it is scalable, which is very important to us, and that we can continue to deploy capital in a very disciplined manner as we evolve this project without having to swing for the fence on anything particularly big. And again, this is the first asset that we put into North Spirit, which is the replacement for the Osisko accelerator model. And we think it sets the table for a significant amount of accretion. In the page 6, we give a little bit more about what North Spirit Discovery Group is here for. We're here to do project financing, project engineering, and project management within that group. The technical team at Markerville, Sean Massey and Maggie and Chris and the rest of the team will continue to work to develop the exploration and the on-site there with the support from the Osisko Engineering Group in Montreal and also from the Project Finance Group that sits within OR where we find the right set of partners to go together for the final mine finance as we get closer to that post-permit. So that group, you know, it would look something like what we did, we believe, Victoria, where we teamed up with our friends from Orion Mine Finance and Caterpillar Finance to issue a $550 million mine finance project. So that is the goal of North Spirit. There will be questions about whether we're trying to be a mining company or whether we're trying to be a royalty company. And the answer is that North Spirit is there for 2 to 3 years for sure while we get through the permitting process, at which point in time a value fork is created. In terms of where the asset is, fully permitted 185,000 ounce a year mine in Canada has a significant amount of value if it's a shovel ready project, as does one that a 185,000 ounce a year mine that's in production. So we'll have 2 to 3 years to make that decision, but we are not going mining on a large scale within North Spirit tomorrow morning. But this is about working in the trough in that value gap period within the Lassonde curve as we move forward. At setting the table to be in an advantageous position to write the project financing at the appropriate time. We think that scalable projects are few and far between. This is a camp-sized play, and for those of you who know us well, we consider ourselves to be brownfield specialists in terms of going into old mining camps, trying to find new deposits and bring those deposits to value the same way we did at Canadian Malartic, where we went in and we bought the project for $88,888. We invested $1 billion, and it was sold to Yamana and Nico for a little over $4.1 billion, including the spin-out of Osisko Gold Royalties. So we've been there. We've made money for shareholders doing this before, and we're doing nothing new here except what we've done in the past. And we've set the table for some optionality about what happens to the project in 2 or 3 years once the permit has been issued. This is a late-stage project in that it already has significant amount of infrastructure and a resource. The resource, overall resource, is at 4.3 million ounces. The PEA study took into consideration only 2.3 million of those ounces. So significant upside in what's already been drilled. Barkerville is a relatively short, shallow project, so lower capex because of that. And again, I can't say this enough times, this is a great Canadian asset, which is what we like to do. We're particularly well-suited and purpose-built to take this project through the value process. Page 7 is the transactional summary. We're to acquire the Barkerville currently, the shares not currently owned by Osisko. Total value of that would be $338 million, of which we already own 32%. And the shareholders of Barkerville will own performance 9% of Osisko Gold Royalties, which has revenue cash flow, pays a dividend. So shareholders will receive significant amount of access to liquidity. However, their stake in OR will be worth a significant amount of money, and the drive from the value of Barkerville will be reflected in that share price, so they will participate in the upside of Barkerville as we move this project on and forward through the value process. Consideration right now is 0.0357 shares of Osisko per share of Barkerville, with an implied price of 58 cents per Barkerville share, representing a 44% premium on the 20-day VWAPs of both companies. Some deal protection has been put in place, customary non-solicitation covenants and formal fiduciary outs, $9.8 million termination fee to Osisko if the transaction is not completed. Holders of 17.9% shareholders, including the board and management, have agreed to support this transaction and are in lockup agreement. On other considerations, Barkerville shareholders' vote is 66 2/3 of the majority of the minority of the votes cast by shareholders. Customary regulatory approvals and closing conditions do apply, and Osisko is to provide $7 million bridge loan expandable to $13 million by mutual consent throughout the process to maintain momentum on the project in terms of the underground development at BC Vein and the continued exploration on site. Timing of this, the meeting materials will be mailed in October. Shareholders will have a meeting in November and the closing expected shortly thereafter. The benefits to the BGM shareholders are outlined on page 8. Chris, would you like to walk through that? So I have Chris Loader, CEO of Barkerville, with us as well.
Good morning, everybody. The benefit to the shareholders of Barkerville is really good. We have a 44% premium to our 20-day VWAP. Everybody will have continued exposure to the project as it will be part of the to the their shares in, so the Osisko Royalties and the new Northern Spirit Discovery Group. Acceleration enhancement development of the care project, we'll continue with that and we'll probably speed up a bit having access to the capital through this transaction. The certainty of funding is there for this on balance sheet and the availability of capital gain through Osisko Gold Royalty. We have a direct exposure to the increasing gold price environment we think we're all going into as Osisko is cash flows and equity value will be shown to that. And those Osisko shares offer substantially greater trading liquidity for those people that move it in out of the shares too.
So page 9 is the benefits to Osisko shareholders. I've touched on many of these points on the way through to get this far. But I think a summary here is that, you know, this is a significant asset that will drive value and will represent 22% of the NAV, underpinning the shareholder value of Osisko Gold Royalties after closing. It also sets the table for us to have significantly higher returns than typical streams and royalties have been delivering that have been bought from third parties on the marketplace lately. And it also goes to our strengths and our unique toolbox to create value by working in what we call the trough, which is the period post-exploration through permitting and construction into mine development. There's several value points at which point we can do that. If you look back at the Victoria transaction, we did monetize the equity position and maintain the royalty here earlier this spring with our equity trade book with our friends at Orion Mine Finance, and we maintained our royalty. We did a similar deal when we bought Arizona Mining. We were taken out, but the equity was taken out by our friends at South 32. We had a $5 million equity investment. We netted $34 million over and above our capital in, and we still own the 1% royalty. So we are doing a deal that's fairly traditional for Osisko Royalties. The only difference this time is that we've acquired a public company to execute the transaction. Offering to acquire this public company from the BGM shareholders. Next step for Caribou and the timeline to expand to production has been outlined on page 10. We've given you a bit of history here. We have significant involvement with this project since early 2016. We came into the project to try and understand it, and there have been several milestones within the evolution of our relationship with Parkerville. But the most important thing has been the technical work that we have finally understood the project in around 2017. We became comfortable with the geological model. We set about checking the veracity of that model, and we drilled, I think subsequently, Chris, 400,000 meters?
360,000 to the end of 2018.
So we've put a significant amount of drilling in to confirm the model. We presented the resource update and the PE study to the public markets. And I think that we've also executed several financings throughout that period. And the ongoing continued demand for capital, I think, has been the overhang on the share price. And today we're here to solve that problem in terms of being able to put this into the North Spirit Discovery Group with financial backing of OR. And if you look at the chart here, you see that we see a permit being issued sometime in 2021 with construction after that. So at that period when the permit is issued will be a value point, and that will be where we issue the project financing. We find a partner or we sell the asset on, depending on how the value of the market looks at that point in time, but we do have a couple of years of work to get through here to unlock that value point. Chris, page 11, I'll let Chris take you through the Caribou Gold Project overview as we go forward here.
Yeah, so most of you know, this is located in British Columbia, in south central British Columbia, so we're not up in the middle of nowhere. This is an accessible area. We're far enough away from any population centers in terms of tourism areas. Any of that is an industrial area. Mining and forestry dominate the industry there. You can work there all year round. We have all services required for mining there. And the area that we control in terms of mineral rights is the whole district. We have really no neighbors there. Something we all like within the group. So it allows us to do efficient long-term exploration. And the biggest thing that we have here really, though, is the overall resource potential, the ability to grow that, and that ties directly with the ability to scale the project as we grow forward. It's a low capex project. Initially, you're starting at 185,000 ounces a year, not including the Bonanza West project. It's been the history here. Mining has been initially blasted and compared to underground load mining of veins and replacement, which is now ongoing with ourselves. The mill that we have on the site is about 1,000 tons a day, presently permitted at 1,000 tons a day at the tailings. But really, with the plan we're looking at there, we can even use that mill probably 1,200 tons a day, considering that we're not going to be using the crushing circuit and development. There's the crushing and the cost sharing we're taking place on the site. All our stakeholders in the area have been very supportive of our First Nations to the regional district, community of Wells, and Quinnell. This has been a good investment for the people in the area, and that is that the jobs that are created there are replacing jobs being lost presently in forest industry.
Thanks, Chris. Page 12 is a summary of the PE study. I'll just hit the highlights on it. NPV of $402 million at $1,325 gold. At current spot prices of $1,500, the NPV would go to $700 million, and we would be we would have a 20% return there, given that our all-in acquisition costs of this project and what we've already spent on it will be around $380 million. It's a significant bump to us. At $1,600 gold, it goes to $800 million, and at $1,700 gold, the NPV goes up to $930 million. So significant gearing to a higher gold price while being a low-cost operator. Other aspects of this to consider is that we're long-holding on 30-meter benches or levels and at 4.5 grams, and we're using an ore sorter to upgrade that material. So the simple takeaway is between the ore sorter and the flash concentration that we're doing on site, we will be trucking 20-gram material to an existing mill that's fully permitted with tailings ponds and cyanide licenses in places. All-in sustaining costs are just under $800 US an ounce, at 796. And even with the capex is so low on this. We put the capex number in here to demonstrate that, $912 in all-in sustaining costs plus opex and capex. So it's a remarkably low-cost mine on a brownfield mine site with only 310 million Canadian in terms of required capital. It'll generate about $1.54 billion of revenue, and then it's IRR 34.6 pre-tax, and 28% post-tax. So this project makes sense on a lot of, 28.1% on the after-tax IRR. This project makes sense on a lot of cases for what we're trying to do when we compare it to metrics of other opportunities in the royalty and streaming business. We feel that this is significantly superior to most of the deals that we've seen out there. In the meantime, it's an asset we know well, and that we've been executing the technical work on this project with our technical group and Chris's BGM team for the last 3 years. So it's not an unknown to us, and we're very comfortable with the work that's been done here. We feel that there's significant upside, even in the resource. Once we get underground, there are several mineralized zones we're excluded from the resource modeling program that we can only really claim once we get back underground. This project has elevation, so we're only using ramps to get in, and we're only dealing with the first 360 meters. And the deposit has mineralization well below 1,000 meters, which we haven't drilled off yet because of the cost associated with that and the ability that we've had to execute success in the shallower drilling. Page 15, just a summary of where we are. We have 104 royalties in the North American continent. The significant producing royalties are Eleanor, operated by Newmont, Bernard, operated by the Bernard Mining Group. Our cornerstone asset is Canadian Malartic. Generates about 35,000 ounces of zero-cost gold to us a year. And most recently, Yamana and Agnico have announced significant upside there, with about 4.4 million ounces of inferred being added to that project as it continues to deliver at depth. The Mantos project we have in Chile, and the Eagle project, which is just poured gold last week September 17th. We're very happy, and we want to thank the Victoria team and congratulate them on a job well done. They executed the construction of that mine in the Arctic and came out a month ahead of schedule, and are pouring gold at this point in time. That'll be the next add of production to the Osisko family of royalties. We also have a couple other assets in different places. On page 16, you can see more of the details. I won't go into them on an individual basis, but we are expecting 85,000 to 95,000 gold equivalent ounces for 2019 and maintain an 89% margin, which is one of the highest margins in any business that I've ever heard of. We continue to have a strong view of our asset base, and that more exploration has been done on our land packages in Canada in the last 24 months that we could ask for. We are still a significant shareholder of the Eagle project owned by Osisko Mining, where John Brzezinski and his team are executing another 200,000 meters of drilling, a significant high-grade zone there. And we continue to be supportive of our friends at Falco Resources, with 6.1 million ounces of gold equivalent reserves in the feasibility study there. That's also in the permitting process. And also, we continue to support other exploration and development stories, such as the Osisko Metals Project, which is operating the Pine Fine Project in the Northwest Territories, and to some extent, some of our projects that, such as Nighthawk Resources, that we've been long-term equity and supporters of in the Northwest Territories. Page 17 goes through the impact on the Osisko NPV by geography, and that we see pro forma, post-transaction, We see that the Canadian presence goes from 76% to 81%. We see our construction level projects and headed for production, we go from 55% to 44%. And NPV by type, you know, we'll be at 42% with 27% being direct ownership. And then we have our small amount of offtake agreements, but 27% of it's in streams. So we continue to see good metrics on our royalty and streaming portfolio, and this project meets all the tests for that. The summary is on page 18, but I don't want to take up too much more time on this. I think that everybody's had a chance to hear what we have to say, so I'd like to get some questions in now, if I could, please.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please pick up your receiver and press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Si vous désirez poser une question, veuillez décrocher le combiné du téléphone et appuyer sur la touche étoile suivie du numéro 1. We will pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Shane Nagel from National Bank Financial. Please go ahead. Veuillez procéder.
Thanks, operator. Hey, Sean, just wonder if you could go into a bit more detail on the North Spirit, just how you see this kind of, obviously it's in its infancy, but how conceptually you see this playing out over the next, say, 3-4 years. I mean, is the intention to always kind of keep a permitting de-risking story, or, you know, you've obviously got a high-quality team of mine developers in-house. Just wondering how kind of far you're willing to kind of take not just the Barkerville project, but how many other kind of projects or entities you feel that unit will have the capacity for.
Well, I think, you know, for today, I mean, obviously the business is handed as Barkerville. Depending on how we make out with this transaction, we'll set the stage for the next evolution. But we did, you know, sort of look at the way the market is working here. Where access to capital for these single asset development stories is coming from. We have a significant amount of experience, you know, through the Victoria transaction and some of the other deals that we're involved in at present as to how the capital is moving. And we felt that we needed a platform to move to diversify the participants on the asset level. And we see private equity and the people who are interested in private equity having a significant amount of access to capital. We wanted to have a way for our Osisko Gold Royalty shareholders to share in that value-building process. And we felt that we were uniquely suited to take our accelerator model and to move it towards that North Spirit model. You know, in the first 2 years, what we see is the main value driver is getting permits on these projects and writing the project financing, which is really what royalty and streaming companies traditionally do, is they participate in project finance for both mine construction and mine expansion. There are rare cases, like we saw in 2016, where we see significant debt conversion into streams and royalties. But normally, this is our normal business as a royalty company. So we felt that we had several groups that were interested in coming to work with us, but they wanted to always participate at the asset level, as opposed at the corporate level. So we think we set the stage for a vehicle that that bridges that gap between total private equity and allows you Osisko Royalty shareholders to get some value from the work that's being done in the accelerator model as we unlock these things and we go through that trough. So if you look at our normal marketing deck, we always show the Lassonde curve, and we say that 75% of our capital allocation is in the trough, which is that period from end of exploration through, you know, PEA study, feasibility study, permitting, mine construction. So we have the ability, as I said, there's two value points for North Spirit at the end of the day. One is when the permit's been accomplished, and the second is after the mine has been commissioned. So we'll see what the market looks like once we achieve the permitting, and we'll make a decision there. In terms of other possible projects for the North Spirit, I don't want to deal in hypotheticals today, but we'll see what the reaction is and what the third-party participant level of capital available to us is once we've done this, and we'll make the call at that point.
Just on that note, then, when you look at the value that you could unlock with this private equity vehicle, does that mean you'll or in your view, are you going to see kind of an end to the traditional accelerator model where you just kind of take an equity stake, obviously remaining supportive to you know, Falco and the like that's in there already, but going forward, would the I guess the preference be to commit capital into this private vehicle to unlock value, or will we still see some of that kind of traditional accelerator model equity positions being taken by Osisko Royalties?
Yeah, I think that we you know, we always set out 5 years ago, you know, we pioneered this model of the accelerator. I think that, you know, we will be participants, but we're going to set the stage to access capital at the lowest cost possible for these projects. You know, the reality is for capital markets haven't had a lot of appreciation for single asset exploration development stories as of late. So we'll see what the appetite for capital is in our spirit for further deals. But we continue to incubate, you know, roughly one company per year within the group. So we'll continue to do that. And we'll pick the access to capital is most appropriate for the situation.
That's great. Thanks, Sean.
Your next question comes from the line of Mike Jalonen from Bank of America. Please go ahead. Veuillez procéder.
Oh, hi, Sean. I just had two questions, I guess. I'm just thinking back in history when Franco and Euro Nevada had Ken Snyder, and they picked up the project pretty well at the same stage as Barkerville now, nurtured along. They were thinking of finding a joint venture partner to build the mine. They decided to go alone and eventually got out of it with some frustration. I guess my question is, in 2 to 3 years, if you can't find a partner or sell the asset, because there's a lot of assets for sale right now and nobody's buying them, do you operate the mine at that point, or what do you do? And I have a second question after that one.
Well, Mike, you know, as my grandmother said to me once, no matter what I've got, my friends always want it. And in this case, I don't think that a premium asset in Canada will go without an acquisition. You know, we choose our projects carefully. You know, expandable mine camps in Canada have always had a bid. Especially, you know, if they're up and operating. So, you know, we have the ability to operate it if we have to, if that's the right answer for our shareholders to get value. But we think that, you know, the partnership along the way will be solved long before we get to that decision. So we'll see where we get to. You know, and in terms of gold price, obviously that's the backdrop to all of this. You know, it's 2 to 3 years of work before we have to make that decision, Mike. And, you know, we see long-term on the gold price. We've assumed $1,325 in all of our assumptions. But obviously, you know, at $1,500, it's a very, very coveted asset. And I'm pretty sure that once we get the permit and we have a full understanding of the project and maybe, you know, some more success with the exploration bid, and we take some more risk off the project, we'll have some friends.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. And just a second question. I know you own 32%. That's a stopping block for anybody who wants to break this up. But I also noticed the average analyst price objective, they're all buys, is 95 cents. So will that encourage another buyer to come up and pay more? Or I'm just, it seems a bit of a, you're basically doing a take under versus the market. And just wondering what your view there is.
Well, I guess the very worst scenario, Mike, is that, you know, somebody does come over the top and resets the share price for Barkerville and the value gets daylighted. You know, we're market participants. We can be buyers or sellers if we see a value. So, you know, if there is somebody that wants to do that, they'll have to drive value. We've taken a long-term view on the asset. We've been a participant since the incubation of the asset in its current format. We have a view on value, and we're there to execute. Everybody else is going to have to do whatever it is they do.
Okay, well, thank you, and good luck.
All right, Mike. Well, we shall prevail.
Your next question comes from the line of Andrew Cape from BMO. Please go ahead. Veuillez procéder.
Hi, Sean. Hey, look, I've got two questions as well. The first one is, it sounds to me like your strategy from a long-term perspective is to bring unloved development projects into your fold, nurture them, advance them, get them through key stage gating on the risk profile, and then can you talk to us about what you think is going to take place with this new strategy? Or is the intention to be there to assemble project financing? It sounds like it is. Does that desire then extend to own interest in the project as it's going into construction? Or where do you think the monetization opportunity is for Osisko Royalty shareholders? And then the second, just a little clarity on how you calculated the premium would be useful as well.
Sure. Maybe I'll start with the first one, the second one first. We calculated the premium based on a 20-day VWAP on the share prices of EGM and of OR. So we can send you that calculation if you like, but it's a pretty standard Bloomberg VWAP calculation.
I get that, but the justification for a 44% could have been a 60%. I'm just looking for some insight on how you came to that number.
Well, I think, we have to be respectful of the marketplace in terms of what's there. And, we feel the Barkerville shareholders have been along with us for a while now. And if we look at fundamental NAV, there's still risk to be taken off the table, and there's still risk of dilution at the Barkerville level with further capital required. So, there's a weighted average there, and we feel that in this market, a 40% premium compared to Mark Bristow's 0% premiums is a significant bump in value here. The stock, Barkerville stock has traded in the 35 to 45 cent range for a significant amount of time, and there's a pending cash call required on the project at this point in time. We're stepping in there not only to pay the premium, but also to pick up the capital requirements over the next 2 or 3 years while we get this project to the next value point. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but we feel that right now, 40% premium in OR stock, which is highly liquid and has the ability to re-rate, and essentially giving VGM shareholders just under 10% of OR allows them to have drive from the project on a go-forward basis that they wouldn't have if we sold it to a larger company and it got diluted into the asset base. Where we see it, fundamental NAV and reasonable premium considering the other option of a market-driven financing to carry on the business of the project.
Okay, no, hey, thanks. And
your next question comes from the line of Greg Barnes from TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Sean, I just want to be clear on North Spirit. Is this going to be a permanent feature of Osisko Gold Royalties, or is this a vehicle that you intend to spin out into a separate company at some point?
It is set to be a spin-out and an independent business that Osisko Gold Royalties will maintain an equity position in. As I said at the beginning, we kind of envision being a 30-50% shareholder over the next couple of years as we evolve the accelerator model and we see what the level of market participation is on asset-driven financings as we go through this process. As we all know, it's very hard for single asset companies to maintain financing without significant dilution throughout this period. And we feel that that's where the value gap is, and that's where we feel we can earn better returns on royalties and streams by participating in that area. And I would refer you to the Arizona mining transaction as a model, the Victoria model, where the project was shovel-ready, but nobody stepped up to the project financing, and ourselves and our partners at Orion put up the bulk of the money with Caterpillar doing a traditional financing of their mining fleet for $60 million, but the bulk of the partnership was Osisko Gold Royalties and Orion. And in that case, we did harvest our equity and redeploy it with our friends at Orion earlier this year. So we have had a disciplined approach to managing the equity exposure within these transactions. And we've used that 10,000 ounces to our royalty portfolio of zero-cost gold last year, which I believe was probably the best royalty deal from an accretion standpoint, no buybacks, and just pure play royalty. I don't think that anybody else has done a 10,000 ounce a year deal in the last 12 months within the royalty space, whereas we have. So we continue to push hard on optimizing our model and generating significant opportunity by working harder and managing a little more complex business plan than the traditional royalty and streaming companies, but to a much bigger end.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Brian MacArthur from Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Sean. I just want to be clear, too. Is the intent going forward to keep the 4% NSR in Osisko Royalties? I realize it doesn't matter now, but when you spin it out, is the intent to keep it, or is that going to be part, you might sell that down as part of the financing with private equity as you go forward?
I think that it might increase, and we'll see what the project financing looks like once we get there, but we are a royalty and streaming company, and selling royalties forward is not really our business. We're here to buy them. So our intention, to be clear and concise, is to increase our royalty and streaming portfolio by being a participant through Northern Spirit to acquire assets that are in the trough, be the leader and the price setter, not the price taker, on the project financing, and to do that to the benefit of the Osisko Gold Royalty shareholders at superior returns from what we're seeing in the traditional royalty and streaming market today. So we just to be clear, we are a royalty and streaming company with prejudice.
Sure. I just want to make sure. And the second part, then, I guess. So you do have the option for the other 1% NSR for $13 million. I assume you probably exercise that. Then does that have to be exercised? There's no trigger now to do that. Now it still sits on the same terms as before.
Well, I'm saying, you know, assuming the conclusion of this transaction, we'll be in a situation to write whatever royalty and streaming deal is appropriate to get the project financing done. I mean, that's the goal of this model. Is to work in the trough to generate that organic opportunity where we're the price setter, not the price taker.
Great. Thanks very much. Very clear.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. In the application of CMMA, I turn the call back over to the presenters for closing remarks.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for the call. We are available. We will probably be in Toronto tomorrow. And perhaps in New York on Wednesday, and available for calls at any point in time. Any clarifications required, we are more than glad to answer them, but I do want one parting message for everybody to be clear about. We are here to make shareholders money through running an accelerator company and operating a premium royalty and streaming company. That is our business. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect. Ceci est la fin de notre appel conférence aujourd'hui. Vous pouvez maintenant raccrocher.